Good morning once again, Father's House, and welcome to church. My name is Michael Collier. It is a joy to welcome you to church here in the building, to everyone joining us online as well as on Kingfisher FM. So church in the building, will you please help me thank Vince and the team for leading us in worship, as well as help me welcome everyone joining us online. Oh, wonderful. So before we get into this morning's message, you would have found a communion on your seat. We're doing a corporate communion service once a quarter. We did one at the beginning of December, now one today. So at the end of the service, we'll take communion together. So you can just hold on to that for now. During the first couple of months of this year, we've been unpacking our vision together as a church. We've been looking at what the Lord has placed on our hearts for 2024. We've used the catchphrase, Restore 24. You'll see it on the screen behind me and throughout the church. So Restore 24, it comes from a passage of scripture in Isaiah chapter 61. It's the passage of scripture that Jesus quotes when he starts his public ministry, saying that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to proclaim good news to the poor, to proclaim freedom for the captives and sight to the blind, and to bestow on those who mourn a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. And so the first part that Jesus quotes is how Jesus restores us. That's what Jesus is doing in us. But then it goes on to say, those people, they will be like a planting for the display of the Lord's splendor. And they will rebuild and restore and renew the places long devastated. And so we really wanted to look at our call as a church for 2024. That not only is Jesus asking to restore us, but then he's asking to work in us and through us to restore the world and restore the kingdom of heaven here on earth. Can you say amen to that? And so we've been unpacking our vision statement in line with that. Our vision statement is to awaken the world to the gift of salvation by grace. Well, that's the first half of it. So in the first week of the year, we spoke about Christ waking us up, calling us out of the grave like he does to Lazarus, and how he invites us to go and do the same, to wake up our world to the gift of salvation. And then we spoke about what our world means, and starting with our inside world and the immediate world around us, and then creating an invitational world to invite people in to the Father's house. And last week, Vince spoke so beautifully about why we call the Father's house when he spoke from the parable of the prodigal son. That was beautiful, wasn't it? Yeah, I think Vince, great job last week. Really cool. And happy birthday once again. So today, I'd like to unpack just the last section of the first part of our vision statement, which is the gift of salvation by grace. So to awaken the world to the gift of salvation by grace. During February, we'll unpack the second half, which is to express our faith and freedom in every sphere and season. But we'll get there in February. It's still January, right? It's the 28th. Okay. So today we're going to focus on the gift of salvation by grace. What is the appropriate response to a gift? Now, you might have heard of the five different love languages. Everybody heard of that? So you get gifts, people. I love to show love by giving or receiving gifts. Perhaps you're a words of affirmation type of person. You love to receive an encouragement or give an encouragement. We've got an encourager here, Pastor Brian, in the front row. I certainly am a words guy, quite sensitive to words, perhaps, some might say. Then you have a quality time. People love to spend quality time to show love or perform acts of service, or physical touch, just a hand around the shoulder will do a lot. But say again? What about food? I don't know if that's a love language, but maybe for some, perhaps so. You know? But I don't know if you know those love languages, or perhaps you know about how your loved ones give or receive love, you'll notice that some people don't reciprocate. So, like, I love a hug. Other people are like, oh, please don't touch me. Any of those people, they don't want to receive. Is that how they receive love? Some people might get frustrated. So maybe you're an acts of service type of guy, and then somebody does something for you, and you're like, no, that's the wrong order. I must do it for you. Or you're like me and my brother and my dad, who, for us, we only have four love languages. Gifts, like physical gifts, they don't really register for us, which is a problem because my mother's way of showing love is through gifts. So it's been a tension, I guess, in our household that I don't think has yet been resolved. My parents love them. They're here, 35 years married, and even my brother's 33. I'm somewhere, and then there's a tension in the household because my mom wants to say I love you, and so how does she say I love you? She gets us a gift. She makes us some food. Okay, so love language is that, and she cooks so well, or she will buy some clothes or something, and then we'll say, what a waste of money these clothes are. Or you could have invested this or done something different with it. And I don't need this. I'm a grown man and I don't need this. And eventually I had to sit down with my dad and my brother and I had to say, can you just say thank you to mom instead of fighting her for saying, I love you. And I think that's really important because her gifts are not really a representation of us. It's a representation of my mom's heart. My mom is saying, I love you. And we don't really receive it that well. So we're not always that good at receiving gifts, right? And I think that it's dishonoring, not so much to me, it's dishonoring to the person who has thought of me and done something, gone out of their way to make a sacrifice to provide me a gift. And I should say, thank you. And sometimes I've said thank you, so I've learned to say thank you and mean it. Say thank you and mean it. But then I fall one step short. So my mom bought me some clothes. I was very grateful. I was very grateful. They didn't quite fit. They're still sitting in a bag in my boot. I haven't gone all the way and gone and exchanged them and made them. So I haven't received it that well. And if I can tell one more story about how we receive gifts or respond to gifts. I've mentioned before that I broke my leg many years ago playing football. It's 10 years ago this year, actually. I was a goalkeeper, and we were 1-0 down against our biggest rivals, and it was the last minute of the game. And so what do goalkeepers do? We want to be the hero. So we run forward for the corner, and I scored the equalizing goal. It's quite fantastic, but it broke my leg in the first place. Which is why I should have been playing in goals and not. So I broke my leg while scoring the goal, and I had to have a surgery to do it. So what I learned about this surgery is that before the wonders of modern medicine, like before the wonders of Jesus' gift, I would have been left broken, perhaps walking with a limp or crippled completely because of my broken leg. But because of the gift of something external that came and I had a surgery and implanted a plate in my leg, I was able to walk again, an external gift. But it also required of me a response to the gift, not just to say thank you and then go home and never do any rehab and therefore still walk with a limp. But it required of me to do a little bit of rehab. Guided rehab, albeit Jesus doesn't leave us alone. He gives us the Holy Spirit, like the doctor, surgeon didn't leave me alone, gave me a physio to go through some guided rehab. In response to the gift, I was able to run freely again as a thank you. Thank you for the sacrifices you've made. So look, I can now run and display a gratitude for the gift I have received. And I think there's an importance to how we receive gifts. Firstly, in honoring the one who has given the gift. And secondly, in how we express our gratitude to working out the gift in our lives. Can you say amen? So responding to salvation is acknowledging our original brokenness, if you will, like my leg was broken, and that without the surgery of salvation, we would have been left perhaps crippled in our sin. And that once the surgery has happened, once the salvation, which is a free gift done from someone external, Jesus, coming into us and into our hearts to create in us a new heart, that behold, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. Then the rehab work is done gratefully so that we can run freely once again in the true image of God to truly be what it means to be human. So we show value to the gift by the way we respond to a gift. It was no good having a plate installed in my leg, but then walking around with a limp for the rest of my life. I showed value to the surgery by the rehab I did. And I think we ought to show value to the gift of salvation by the way that we respond to the gift. And I think how we respond to the gift of salvation will determine how we experience the gift of salvation. If we think about the children of Israel, God came to their rescue. God came to redeem them, to save them. He was their salvation through the Passover lamb and bringing them up out of slavery in Egypt, like he brings up us up out of slavery to our sin. But it wasn't very far. And the Israelites thought, I'm surrounded by my enemy. Pharaoh is coming. I've got nothing to eat or drink here. It doesn't look like how I thought it would look when I first came out of salvation. It's better for me to go back into slavery. Better to go back into our old way of living. It was slightly easier. Even though we were burdened by slavery, at least we ate whatever we wanted to eat whenever we wanted to eat it. And at least it didn't seem like Pharaoh was trying to kill us. And I think God continuously reminded them, say, hang on. Remember the Lord your God who brought you up out of slavery to Egypt. Remember my mighty hand and my outstretched arms that dealt with the Egyptians. Remember all that I've done for you. Remember my daily provision of daily bread through manna. Remember how I provided water from the rock. Remember how Jesus Christ has come as our salvation. Remember, as we will do today, the gift of salvation by grace, so that when it seems like we are surrounded by our enemies and there is no way through, and what are we going to do next? Remember the goodness of God who has brought you up out of slavery. And that sense of gratitude will shift our perspective, will shift us from our problems to the goodness and the provision of our Savior. Can you say amen? And even, you know, once the Israelites kept walking, God was gracious to them. When they started complaining, he was gracious. He made a new way. He made a way through the Red Sea. He said, you need only be still. The Lord your God is fighting your battles on your behalf. Like we sang now, we're fighting a battle. He has already won. He goes before us and he makes a way. He provides for us. He guides us. And then he prepares us properly to enter the promised land. But even there, he says, remember the Lord your God. It is he who's given you the ability to create wealth. It is he who has brought you into this good and open, spacious land where you have provision. And so cultivating gratitude helps us to remember that everything we have and everywhere we've come from comes from God. And so it positions us properly to face our future and say, God is with me. As God has been with me, so God will be with me always. And I think the way that we receive the gift and respond to the gift not only shows gratitude for what has happened, but positions us properly to face a future full of faith, knowing that our God is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. Can you say amen to that? There's a beautiful passage of scripture in Isaiah 65. Vince and I were speaking about it this week because he actually had it in his notes for last week, but didn't share it. And I read it when my mom shared something with me this week, actually, and it really stood out to me in the sense that it displays the gift of salvation as a character of God the giver more than us. It's in Isaiah 65. So it's after the children of Israel have come out of slavery, but before Jesus has come. He's talking about Jesus. It says, before they call, I will answer. While they are still speaking, I will hear. What that scripture tells me is, before we even knew we needed a savior, God had sent the answer in his son, Jesus Christ. Before we even begin to pray, God has begun to make a way to answer those prayers. Scripture says, but God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. We didn't even know, but before we even had to call, God had answered. While we are still speaking, trying to formulate, Lord, this is what I'm at in the gift of salvation in his son, Jesus Christ. And so today, in the time that we have together, I want to look at three or answer three questions What is the gift of salvation? How should we respond to this gift of salvation that we've received by grace? And what should we do with the gift that we have received? So firstly, what is the gift? Well, right from the beginning of Scripture, we read that God has made a good world, a very good world, and made us in His image, and yet, and desires to live among us. He walks with us in the garden. And right there in the garden, we rebel. And each of us are like that. We've all decided to go our own way, define good and evil for ourselves, and say, actually, God, thanks very much, but I'll be God for myself. And so we're separated from God because of our sin. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But right there in the beginning, God says, I will send a seed of the woman who will crush evil at its source and restore my presence among my people. And God is committed right to the end. That scripture says that when the times reach their fulfillment, He will bring all things into unity under Christ. That every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. But what He's saying is, right from the beginning, God has been committed to restoring His presence among His people so that God and man can dwell together and walk together, that the healing of heaven can make its home in the heart of humanity by the Holy Spirit. And so God desires to have His presence dwell among us. And He tries to do that through the children of Israel, and they fail. And then finally, He says, okay, I will come myself to live among you. I will give myself as the gift in the person of Jesus Christ to reconcile God and man together by making peace through His blood shed on the cross. And so this is the gift. The gift is God Himself, that God Himself may dwell with you and in you, and that you may walk with God again. What a privilege that we didn't even know we needed a Savior, and God sent Himself to be our gift, that we would walk with Him again. That like the children of Israel, we were enslaved in a way to darkness, and yet Christ's light has shone on us and brought us to newness of life. If anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old is gone. All things have been made new. Ephesians 2, verse 4 to 9 tells us why God did this. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy. Remember what I said earlier about the person who gives a gift, that the gift displays the character of the giver. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace expressed to His kindness, in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. You know, forgive me if there's children in the room. If there are, just like ears. On Christmas Eve, I dress up as Santa. In Red House, Father Christmas comes down the river and brings gifts to the children. I received gifts from Santa all my life growing up as Father Christmas comes down the river. It's beautiful. It gathers all the children and the people of the village of Red House together, and it's a wonderful family moment. But then a couple of years ago, we were introduced to a book called The Santa Gospel. I don't know if you've read it. Vince and Charisse have read it here before, I think, on Christmas. And it speaks about how the time when Santa learns the gospel and that his world is turned upside down when he realizes not even Santa is good enough to make the nice list. He thought there was a naughty list and a nice list, and he knew that the kids didn't really actually qualify for the nice list, but that at least their attempts to be good were good enough after all. But then he learns the gospel from an elf who reads the Bible after one of the children asks for it. And he realizes that his world is turned upside down, because not only does Santa and everybody else fail to make the nice list, But what happens to the naughty list is turned on its head. They do not get a lump of coal, but salvation for their soul in the person of Jesus Christ. It is not by works, not earned, but received. When my mother gives a gift, yes, it's because she loves me, but it's not because I did anything in the first place. It's because of her character, her love. And if my mom, though human and flawed like all of us, knows how to love, how much more our Heavenly Father lavishes His love on His children because of His character. It's a marvelous, incomprehensible mystery of salvation that God would so love us that He did not even spare His own Son to save us. How much more will He also, along with Him, give us all things? You may say, like Peter said, "Away from me, Lord, I'm not worthy. I'm a sinner." But Christ did not come for those who are worthy. He came to make the unrighteous righteous in His Son. He came to take the sinner and make them the children of God, to bring about their salvation. Jesus was not messing about, not going halfway. He went all the way, came down to earth, considered equality with God nothing to be used to His own advantage. Rather, He made Himself nothing, becoming the nature of a servant, and gave Himself over so that we would be reconciled to God. This is the gift of salvation, that Christ has done everything as the Son of God so that the sons of men can become children of God by putting our faith in Jesus Christ. When we realize this gift, His blood shed on the cross, this wonderful salvation for our souls, the forgiveness of sins, reconciliation with God, we can do nothing but respond in awe and wonder and gratitude, to recognize this gift and realize our need for the gift, and simply to receive it with gratitude in our hearts, to say, this is the gift of salvation, relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Can you say amen to that? So once we grasp this gift, I want to ask, how do we respond to the gift? What is the appropriate response? Now, grace, remember our vision statement is to say the gift of salvation by grace. And this scripture that we just read said, it is by grace you have been saved. Grace simply is an unmerited favor. It is that which someone did not deserve, they were given. And the only response to receiving something that we did not deserve but were given is gratitude. It is to say, thank you, God. Having received what we do not deserve, nor could we ever earn, we should be compelled to live a life full of gratitude for the grace of God received. Psalm 107, verse 1 to 2 says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story." Those two are connected. For we are the redeemed of the Lord, those who the Lord has saved by grace. And may we tell our story. And what is that story? Well, it is that He is good and that His love endures forever, that we give thanks to God. Those that the Lord has redeemed and restored, like we're talking about as our vision for this year, let us tell of the goodness of God. Tell of how God has restored us and redeemed us. That was why God saved the children of Israel, so that they would go out into the world and be a representation that the world would look and say, surely God is among those people. Surely God has rescued them. And that is our call as the church, to go into the world and live a life in such a way that the world says, surely God is among those people. Surely God has done a great work. Surely salvation is in their midst. And in so doing, we shine the light of Christ, and the world is awoken to this gift of salvation by grace. It is to be grateful is to overflow with worship and thanksgiving. It's why worship is one of the values of our church. It's why we celebrate. It's why we're grateful to have the next generation giving thanks to God up front in church. Worship is a celebration for the goodness of God revealed in His Son, Jesus Christ. Even Jesus gave thanks.
He gave thanks. And his thanksgiving teaches us that he shifts perspective when he gives thanks. He goes away from the wisdom of the world or the problems of the world, and he sets his perspective on our God. Do not worry or be anxious. Surely your Father in heaven, who is perfect, knows everything that you need and values you enough to give it. He gives thanks for provision. He gives thanks that God hears our prayers. And finally, he gives thanks that God will fulfill his promise to save and redeem his people through the body and blood of Jesus Christ. And so gratitude helps us to remember God, to give thanks, to remember how he has redeemed us and restored us, to say thank you again for the gift. It's why we take communion regularly. To every time we do this, we are reminded, thank you, God. Help me to remember your faithfulness, your goodness, and your mercy. And help me with that to live in such a way as to go forward with gratitude, knowing that if God is for us, who can be against us? Those that the Lord has redeemed, they will rebuild and restore the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. Part of the gratitude is that it enables us, part of gratitude enables us to do the necessary rehab properly. When I spoke of my broken leg earlier, I could have got stuck. Why, Lord? Why did I break my leg? We were having such a good season. Now I'm in pain. So that's one way you can get resentful and stuck, like the children of Israel did when they were wandering through the wilderness. Or we can position our hearts and say, God, thank you for the gift of a surgery. Thank you for the gift of salvation. I might not be the fullness of the image of God yet, but with gratitude for what you have done, helps me to position what you will do in me and through me to create in us the image and likeness of Christ within each one of us. Scripture goes on to say, that scripture I read in Ephesians 2 earlier goes on to say, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God has prepared in advance for us to do. So God is molding us, shaping us into the image and likeness of Christ so that we will go out into all the world and restore the world unto God. Can you say amen to that? And then finally, what is it that we should do with a gift? Some gifts we receive and we say thank you, but we're not really certain what we do with them. Now, the gift of salvation is for us individually, but it is not only for us. It is also for the whole world also. One of the criticisms God had of the children of Israel in the Old Testament was that having been saved, they wanted to keep it all for themselves, instead of opening the gates so that all the world would come and be restored into the presence of God. And what we should be careful about, and what Vince spoke about so beautifully last week, is that we should keep the doors open, the doors of our church, but also the doors of our heart open, to invite all others in to know the goodness of God and to share the gift of salvation by grace. 2 Corinthians 5 tells us that we have been reconciled with God, and that God is reconciling the whole world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, but that he has given to us the ministry of reconciliation, as though he was making his appeal through us to all the world to be reconciled with God through Christ. When grace gets a hold of us, when the gift of salvation takes root in our hearts and we realize with gratitude how much we have to be grateful for, we can almost do nothing but help ourselves share this gracious gift we have received generously with others so that the whole world will also know. Ephesians 2 verse 13 to 18 tells us what to do once we have received this gift. So earlier in Ephesians 2 is what I read earlier, is how God has reconciled us to Christ because of his great love for us. But then it goes on to say, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to those who were far away and peace to those who are near. For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. That scripture is specifically referring to the reconciliation of the Jews following Jesus and the Gentiles who came to know Jesus. But the scripture has meaning for us today, that those who are far from God, Christ has come to preach peace to. That once we also were far from God. And where there is division in our world today and the world wants us to take opposing views, be on this side or that side, us against them. And I don't mind us having strong convictions on topics, but may the strongest conviction we have be that Christ has come to reconcile the world to God, not counting people's sins against them. May we not conform to the patterns of this world, as Romans 12 say, and be a divisive people ourselves, but instead proclaim the cross that proclaims peace, peace between God and man, and peace between us and our fellow man. May we be those who reconcile differences, differences in our own families, differences in our city, and differences in our world. May we carry the cross of reconciliation wherever we go, so that all would be reconciled to God. And often that starts by us being reconciled to one another. Jesus said, if you're offering your sacrifice to God at the altar, and there you remember, I have an issue with a brother, go be reconciled to him first, and then come offer your sacrifice before God. May we be those who carry the ministry of reconciliation out into all the world, for God has reconciled us to himself in Christ, not counting our sins against us. So today, may we recognize the heart of the one who is given the gift of salvation. And may we realize our need for this gift to be reconciled to God again. May we receive the gift and respond with gratitude to the grace of God. And may we reveal our restoration by reconciling the world to God in Christ. Can you say amen to that? Either everything is God's grace or nothing is. And God has given us everything in his Son, Jesus Christ. There is healing for our brokenness, a surgery of salvation, something external to be implanted in us so that we can walk again. There is a guided rehab available by the Holy Spirit to help us work out what it means to be made in the image of God. And there is an opportunity and a responsibility to run well and so reveal the love of God that is in Christ Jesus to all the world. We're going to take a moment now to take communion together. If you're ready to do so, if you're far off or you feel like, oh, maybe this is not something I'm accustomed to or not something I know about, the body or the bread and the juice is a representation of the body and the blood of Christ poured out on the cross for us, which was a culmination of the Passover lamb through whom God had redeemed and brought the children out of Israel out of slavery. And so Christ is our redemption out of slavery to sin. And if you are far off from God or you feel like perhaps I'm not worthy to take of the body and the blood, perhaps you've been taught you're not worthy, may I encourage you with this, that none of us are worthy, but it is the body broken and the blood shed of Jesus Christ that makes us worthy. For we may not be worthy, but the gift tells not of the recipient, but of the giver. It tells of the love of God who is able to reconcile us to himself in Christ. And so today may we humble our hearts, and perhaps you've been doing this for a long time, and what needs to be restored is the joy of your salvation. To remember, oh Lord, my works might have fallen short, but it is not by works that we are saved, but by grace. So may we take of the bread and the blood, bread and the juice together as a representation of the body and the blood of Jesus, broken and shed in love for us. So the body of Christ, broken in love for each one of us. And so too, Jesus gave of his blood, that the blood of Jesus would speak a better word than the blood of Abel, that in him and in his blood shed would be a new covenant, his blood shed for the forgiveness of sins, that we might be made new in him and be called the children of God. So the blood of Jesus shed in love for you and for the forgiveness of sins.
Oh, my words fall short. I've got nothing new. How could I express all my gratitude? I can sing these songs as I often do. But every song I said, and you never do. So I throw up my hands, praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. It's not much, but I've nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah.
Father, what great love you have lavished on us, that a king would come and give his life for his subjects so that we would be called children of the Most High King. Thank you, Jesus, for your love poured out on the cross, this wonderful gift of salvation that reconciles us back to the Father, and given graciously, not of anything of ourselves, but all that we offer back is thanksgiving, praise, a hallelujah to you, and a life set on serving you and your children to reconcile the world to you in Christ. And so we thank you for this in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, church, for spending Sunday morning with us. Enjoy the rest of your day. God bless you and goodbye.